Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You just heard our text read from the lectern, and the theme that we would like to use in considering that text is communicating Christ for understanding. And that text in the Gospel of John is set very much in the context of communication. It takes us right back to the very first words of that gospel, where we read, "In the beginning was the Logos." In the beginning was the Word, we often translate it. Even a translation of Scripture now is being called God's Word. And truly that is what it is. Not man's word, but God's Word. In the beginning was that Logos. In the beginning was that communication. That's the first thing that we experienced in this world, as God said, "Let there be," and there was, over and over again through the whole of creation. In the beginning was that communication. That communication was with God. That communication was God. That is what God is. He is nothing else but communication to us. He's the Creator. But he certainly is also the communicator. In verse 14 of that first chapter, it says that the Logos was made sarx. That word, that communication was made into flesh and blood. And we were able to see his glory, the glory of the Son of God. And that glory was full of grace and it was full of truth. God made his communication touchable. And it's interesting that grace is brought out in that 14th verse of the first chapter of John. Later on in the theme chapter of this book, John 3:16, it says, God gave us his only begotten Son. God gave us this touchable communication of himself. This presentation of everything that God is for us in a way that we could understand it. And the text today tells us about receiving that communication, that Logos, that Word. As we look at that, we move forward to the first point. The people of Israel had recognized Jesus as a physical communication. If we look at the beginning of chapter 6, we see the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Five small barley loaves and two small fishes. Jesus had walked on the water. Then it says that Jesus knew that they wanted to make him king. He had their attention. The channels for communication were open. The next day they came by boat back to hear what he would tell them. And you notice the question that the Jew had. What works shall we do? It's so human, isn't it? It's always so human. When our channel is open to receive something, then we want to know, what is the price? What does it cost? What are the works that we are to do? And the answer was, there are no works. Just believe in the communication that God has sent. Believe in the one that he has sent. Believe in that only beloved Son. And yet the Jews, you know, they had their way of expecting verification for that communication. Every culture has. 1 Corinthians 22 tells us that the Jews were looking for signs and the Greeks wanted wisdom. Maybe we could add the Romans were interpreting it in terms of power. And so they came back to him and says, "What sign? What sign will you give us? How will you touch us in the middle of our worldview so that we truly may believe?" Jesus had opened the channel through the healing, through the feeding, through the walking on the water. The understanding, the physical reception of him was in place. They were ready to follow him. They wanted to make him king. But now Jesus turns it a bit and he moves them to the other level of reception. He did it so often. He did it with a woman at the well. And here I'd like to go back for a minute to read that text and watch how he moves them to that other level of reception. "I tell you the absolute truth," Jesus said to them, "Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For God's bread is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Lord, they said to him, always give us this bread. And then, just like with the woman at the well, he said, I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. The person who comes to me will never be hungry, and the person who believes in me will never be thirsty. The physical contrast with the bread that they ate in the desert, and now the spiritual bread, the spiritual communication, the water of life that God have given them in his own Son, Jesus Christ, the Logos, the communication from God. And it's interesting that we see here what that communication was. It was grace, and it was true. It was about a giving God who had the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation for them. We notice in verse 33, the bread that my Father gives that comes down from heaven is the bread that gives life to the world, the one that gives eternal life. Another time Jesus said to them, you won't have any other sign except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days in the belly of the whale, and then coming out of it. There it was, Jesus, 3 days in death, crucified for our sins, and risen again. The sign of the prophet Jonah. Again, the spiritual level. And so Jesus, the bread of life, Jesus, the one who had given his life, so that we might have life forever. Now the point of the text is to receive the bread of life by feeding on Jesus, by feeding on this communication. We all know that it's natural for us to take 3 meals a day. I've had many friends who tell me if they don't get their lunch, they get a headache. Some of you take a light meal at one time of the day and maybe a heavier meal at noon or in the evening. And if we want to read this text rightly, and we want to understand that Jesus is the bread of life, then to receive him means to consume him. It means to make him a part of our own selves. How do we take 3 meals a day spiritually? I'm sure that much like your physical meals, you may not take a heavy meal every time, 1 or 2 chapters of the Bible. But I don't know anyone who lives the day without a full meal sometime. And I don't know how we can live spiritually either if we don't take the bread of life, Jesus Christ, particularly his word as he has given it to us in the Bible, fully, at least sometime during the day. And take time for digestion. Indigestion is bound to happen if you rush your full meal. You need to take time for that full meal. You need to take that meal into yourself, that word of God into yourself. You need to memorize it and make it part of you, because food that comes in and goes through without becoming part of our body does us no good at all. It is the word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to enlighten our minds. It is that bread of life that we receive daily that he uses to enlighten our minds. We receive it not only with our ears, but we say that we receive it with our heart. That is, it becomes part of us. And that's when the Spirit uses us, uses it to do his word, his work. We need also to remember that our bread of life has given himself to us in a very special way in the sacraments. That's part of what's implied here too. Jesus is the bread of life. My body, my blood, which is given for you. My blood which is shed for you for the remission of your sins. We need also to take that regularly. That's what the bread of life means. We receive it not just by hearing it, but Romans 10 tells us that we have truly received it when we call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, that one is going to be saved. But how can he be saved? How can he call unless he has believed? How can he call on the name of the Lord? How can he pray unless he has belief? I met not long ago a man on a plane who was very faithful in church. But when I asked him about prayer in his home, he said, well, I really don't believe God exists. It would be foolish for me to sit in my house and pray to the air and talk to the air. He couldn't call upon the name of the Lord, even though he was a church member. Receiving doesn't only mean calling upon the name of the Lord, it means sharing the name of the Lord, sharing food. I think of the wonderful example we had in Africa where whenever you go to someone's house, no matter how little they had to give you something to eat. They had to give you food. And if the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the most precious food that we have, can we do anything but be hospitable? Can we do anything but share that with us, with others? The Emmaus disciples had that experience. They invited Jesus to eat physical food with them. All at once, they realized that he had shared spiritual food with them, and they had to be on their way immediately to share that spiritual food with the disciples in Jerusalem. So then in conclusion, we do need to receive Jesus physically. We do need to recognize that he is God the Son, that he is the Messiah. We need to receive him spiritually. We need to recognize that his death, that his resurrection was not just the dying of another human being, but that it was the death that pays for all of our sins, that it prepared a place in heaven for us. We need to share that with others. You see, it's so evident here when it says, "My Father gives you the real bread." It was the love of the Father that sent Jesus. It was the love of Jesus that sent him into this world and to the cross for us. And it is that love of Christ that constrains us to receive him by the power of the Holy Spirit and also to share him with others. In conclusion, I'd like for us to stand and to conclude this sermon by reciting together that theme verse of John 3:16. Would you stand with me? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May it be so for us. Amen.